We've had an over 10-year relationship with Robert and the ministry in Uganda. 2 years ago, I got to go there and preach in his church and meet all of his family. So he's come and share with us, but never actually preached with us before. So we are excited for him not only to share about the ministry there, but also to kind of bring a message from God's word for us. So you get some good African preaching today. As we begin, I'm just going to begin with some prayer for Robert. I want you to know that Robert has in Uganda many children. He has adopted and cared for so many people. And then a little bit less than 2 years ago, he had the opportunity with his wife to have triplets. And so to have kind of his own children too. And they are sick right now. So we're going to pray for them and pray for Robert as we kind of begin today. So, Father, we know that you are the Lord over this entire world, God. And that red on that flag reminds us that inside all of us, there's this blood that flows that binds us together. So we can stretch our prayers all the way over into Uganda, God, and lift up those three children and pray that you would grant a full and complete healing for them. Just restore them completely, God. I pray for a peace for Robert as he's so far away from his precious kids, knowing that he can't fix anything, but that you can do everything, God. I pray for Sarah, too, to have comfort in this season. We are blessed for Robert to be here, God, and pray that you would allow him to speak what we need to hear. Open our ears, God, to receive that message from him. And we pray that you would expand our understanding of your work around the world and your work inside our own hearts, too. And we pray that in the name of Jesus. Amen. So, welcome and thank you.
Thank you. Well, good morning. I bring greetings from Uganda. Like they told you, Uganda is warm and the people are black. So you'll forgive me for having my jacket on because this is quite cold for me. Yeah, but I am so grateful to be back here today and to meet friends and people that have loved us these many years and people that have supported our work in Uganda. I want to thank you for being part of the ministry in a country maybe that you have never reached personally or physically, but your support, your prayers, your financial support, and your encouragement has been really making an impact in my country. I would not be doing what I do back home if it was not for you guys helping us financially and with prayers. Since last time when I was here, there has been so many things going on in Uganda. I'll first of all show you my family, my wife Sarah. She's the one you see there in the picture. She's a singer in our church, and she likes singing. The other day I was here and I saw Raul, and he was showing me his daughter singing here, and it reminded me so much about Sarah. So God blessed us with triplets, as Pastor Pete was telling you. As you can see them, the one in yellow is the boy, and two sisters, Nathan, Sandra, and Chelsea. Like they have told you, they are sick right now, and I feel very bad to be far away from them. But I know God is in control. So, as you know, we have a school in Uganda, and right now the school has around 1,300 kids that are attending our school. And recently, through your giving, your generous giving, we were able to put up a boys' boarding house. And maybe the picture is not really clear, but we are very grateful that we have a facility like that where the boys can come and sleep and even have good meals, because many of you are sponsoring these kids. And the meals that they get at school, some of them, they are the only meals that they get in that day. So if you are part of the sponsorship program, I met the seniors yesterday. Was it the seniors, the Bible study yesterday? And they are sponsoring kids. I was very grateful. And please, thank you very much for sponsoring these kids. And so last year when I was here, I told you about our plan to plant a church in Jinja. Actually, this year God has given us grace to plant two churches, one in Jinja and one in the suburbs of Kampala. Kampala is the capital city, but I'm kind of directly responsible for this church in Jinja. We started it in March this year from 30 people. The number has grown up to 70 members, but every Sunday we have like over 100 people attending this church. And we kind of want to make Jinja like our base because it is a town setting and it is close to where I live. It is like 5-6 miles away from my house. So it is kind of easy for me to get there and do the work. And we have found it, we have found God doing mighty things in this village, I mean this town. We have a plan coming up as a way of getting known by the people of Jinja. We have a big crusade that is coming in September. I was sharing with some Bible study groups that I met. We really would appreciate your prayers because it is going to be bigger than we have ever done anything. It's going to kind of advertise us into the city and also giving us the opportunity to share Christ with everyone that will come. We expect around 10,000 people to attend. And so we ask you to pray for us that we'll have a good weather and that many people will give their lives to Christ. This church has been very generous about this Jinja church. They have, you have given so much money for the construction, which has not yet started because we have been having some persecutions with our Muslim neighbors. One of the neighbors on our right is a Muslim guy who is also a political leader in Jinja. And back in the east, we have another one who is also a witch doctor and a Muslim. And so they really don't want the church there. And so we have had this kind of persecution. They don't want the church there. And the last week before I came here, we had a meeting and that was settled. So I am hoping that when I go home, we'll be able to start the construction. So thank you for supporting that work. Now, we have 15 church plants now. Remember last year we had 13. Now we added on 2. And those are the pastors that I work with in those 15 churches. God has been very gracious to me over the years that he has enabled me to disciple those guys. And I'm very blessed to see them work, doing the work of Christ, even when I am not there. So that's a good thing. So now we have another program coming up early next year. We have been training pastors in one location, that's in Bukeka. But we have developed this plan, like we have identified 5 training centers all over the country. And so starting from next year, January, we'll be training pastors from their respective places in these 5 centers. And the first training takes actually 2 years. And those pastors that will have excelled in those classes, then we will bring them to Bukeka for an advanced training. So we ask you to pray for us, and we ask you to support us in this effort as we try to train leaders and church leaders in Uganda. Thank you very much, and God bless you. Amen.
So we're going to have the scripture reading now. So we had a little mission minute on Uganda. We're going to have the reading, and then we'll go on with the message that you have.
Good morning. Our reading today is from 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 16. The Spirit clearly says that in later times, some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Such teachings come through hypocritical liars whose consciences have been seared as with a hot iron. They forbid people to marry and order them to abstain from certain foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and who know the truth. For everything God created is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, because it is consecrated by the word of God and prayer. If you point these things out to the brothers, you will be a good minister of Christ Jesus, brought up in the truths of the faith and of the good teaching that you have followed. Have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Rather, train yourself to be godly. For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for us all and all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. This is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance, and for this we labor and strive, that we have put our hope in the living God, who is our Savior of all men, and especially of those who believe. Command and teach these things. Don't let anyone look down on you because you're young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in life, in love, in faith, and in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching and to teaching. Do not neglect your gift, which was given you through a prophetic message when the body of elders laid their hands on you. Be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly over to them, so that everyone may see your progress. Watch your life and your doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearts. Here ends the reading.
I am so delighted to be bringing the message this morning to you. Thank you, Pastor Pete, for sharing with me your pulpit. And thank you, the leadership of this church, for giving me this opportunity to share the word of God. It is my understanding that you have been studying the book of 1 Timothy. And so I want to share the word of God from chapter number 4, just like we have read. And this is an interesting chapter. The Apostle Paul writes to Timothy, and the Holy Spirit is kind of warning us, people that are living in the last days, and saying, like, there are going to be so many people that are going to depart from the faith. And he says this is going to be caused by demons, deceitful demons. The demons will bring out messages, and these messages are going to be sweet to the ears, and that these messages are going to make many people depart from their faith. And I mean, he lists up so many things that these demons will be teaching. And today I wanted us to focus on verse 7 and 8, where the Apostle Paul gives us the solution to this. He says, have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Rather, train yourself to be godly. For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. And so, I've been thinking about these verses mostly. Like, when other people are giving up on their faith, what are we going to do to remain on the course? And the Apostle Paul says, have nothing to do with those myths, with those stories, but train yourself to be godly. I've been in this country. I know how much you people like training, physical training. The other day, I got an opportunity to go with Alexi to the park. And I saw him training very hard, doing it again and again. And the Apostle Paul says, that is good. He's not discouraging. He says, it is very good. While I was at school, in Chicago, one of my professors told us that if people were training, they would be healed of 80% of their sicknesses. They would have avoided 80% of the sickness that comes into us. And he was sharing with us about the importance of training. I wish I could learn this and go home and train again and again. But I realized that I'm so lazy about that. And that's why you see I look the way I look. So, yeah, but for those that are doing training, that's very amazing. But I have come also to realize that there is no such a thing as instant godliness. You don't just wake up a day and you are godly. There is no 1 minute or 40 days or easy step to live a life of righteousness that pleases God. That is not the way God planned for our sanctification. We are justified instantly by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, but justification and sanctification are completely different. One preacher by the name of Oswald Saunders said, "Only the disciplined person will rise to his highest power. He is able to lead because he has conquered himself." We must face the fact that many of us today are disgracefully careless in our living. We have liberty, we have money, and we live in comparative luxury. As a result, discipline practically has disappeared, and we are overpowered by temptation, distraction, and superficial forms. Many fail to consistently train themselves for godliness because they settle for second-best agendas. What does it mean to train yourself to be godly? I want us to ask ourselves this question, and I want us to try to answer it, because so many times we might be thinking that we are training ourselves to be godly, and yet we are doing something else, and we are missing the mark. Now, looking at the word training, like I told you, I got the opportunity to go with Alexi. It's not something easy. You have to put in effort. You have to try harder. You have to do it again and again. It is not something that you do one time. And then it continues to say yourself. You cannot expect others to do it for you. You are responsible, and you are personally responsible. But you have also to understand that God's help is definitely there for us. And then this same word says, train yourself to be. You train, and you train yourself. You go in these Bible studies by yourself. I was blessed to attend these Bible studies. And I was like, these men go deep into studying God's word. And I believe the Lord would desire to see every man, every woman here belonging to a Bible study. Because there, you go deep into God's word. And then he says to be, train yourself to be godly. Now this word to be, it's sometimes misinterpreted. Some people try to talk godly. Some people try to walk godly. And some people even try to do godly. But this is not what the word of God is saying. It's saying, train yourself to be. You have to train until when you are godly. Until when people just look at you and see God. I don't know about this country, but in Uganda, you find people who speak nice. They have this godly talk. And when you judge them by their words, you say, oh my God, I've found a woman of God, I've found a man of God. But when they are not living godliness. So how do we train ourselves to be godly. What exercises do we do in this training? Now, a couple of years I was studying in Wheaton College, and one of my friends tells me, you know, my brother, you can't survive here if you don't go to the gym, because the food here will kill you. And I'm like, okay, can you take me to the gym? And this guy takes me into this huge building with so many equipments, and I'm like, what? Where are we now? It was something that I had never seen in life. And then he says, don't worry, I will show you. And he takes me from each machine and tells me, you know, if you want to burn your fat, this is the kind of machine you should be working on. If you want to help your heart, you do this exercise. If you want to build your muscles, this is the kind of exercise you should be doing. And he went on again and again. And I realized every time I went there, I'm like, what do I want to do? I want to burn my fat. So I was doing those kind of exercises. Physical training, that's good. There are also spiritual exercises that we should be doing as we train ourselves to be godly. And I want to share with you a few of those exercises that you need to do as a believer, as a Christian today, to be godly. Number one, seek. S-E-E-K. That is seek. Matthew chapter number 6, verse 33 says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Now, there is a temptation today to seek the material things, to seek so many other things. But the Bible calls us to seek first the kingdom of God, to make God our first priority, to begin with God in everything that we do. And that's an exercise that each and every one of us should be doing, like, on a daily basis. Exercise number two, strive. First Timothy chapter number 6, verse 12 says, fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Fight the good fight of faith. Now, do you remember how many times we fight physically? We fight with our neighbors. We fight with our friends. We struggle in our own strength. And we keep failing. And we keep disappointed. And we start complaining, because we are not fighting the good fight of faith. May I encourage you this morning to fight the good fight of faith, to keep your focus on Jesus. And that will be my third exercise. It's Luke. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. There are so many temptations today to look at so many other things, to look at other people. And every time we do, we look on other people, we get disappointed, because people will always disappoint us. Being in this country for these few weeks I've been here, I've heard stories of cancer, just like we hear stories of malaria in my country. Cancer is a big name here. And I have friends. One of my friends in Chicago, a doctor, has cancer, and he has less than a year to live. And every time I think about it, it breaks my heart. But the Bible calls us not to look unto these things, but to keep our focus, to look unto Jesus, knowing that he is the author and finisher of our faith. Maybe the fourth exercise will be witness. Matthew chapter number 6, verse 16. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify God. Ladies and gentlemen, we are witnesses in everything that we do, with our neighbors, with those people we meet in the grocery stores. We are witnesses, whether we know it or not, whether we think whether we think those people are looking or not, they are actually looking. They are waiting to see. You say you are a Christian. What are you doing? Is your light shining every day? Do you only shine on Sunday when you come to church? The Bible challenges us to be the light, not on Sundays, but every day. Let our light shine, knowing that we are witnesses for Christ. Exercise number 5 is watch. 1 Peter verse 5, chapter 5, verse 8. Be sober-minded. Be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Now, in Uganda, I would say it is easy to watch because the spiritual world is so evident. The demon is manifest every day. We are aware of them. You can see someone and realize this one has demons. And I realize that is very different here. I think it is very difficult here to be watchful because you don't see the devil at work like we do. But the Bible calls us to watch, to be sober-minded, to always look. I was with Laul, I wonder if he's here, yesterday, and we went to a grocery store. And Laul was telling me stories of things, and he was praising God in these small things. Like we are packed here, and then the other man leaves and says, you see, God is good. He has provided us for a way to go out. I think he was very watchful. We can live a life of complaining if we don't see God in the small things of our lives. If you don't see God doing these small things, then you can complain, oh, how about these things are happening to me? I have the cancer. My sister is dying. My brother is like this. My family is not okay. We are struggling financially. But there are those small things that God is doing. And I mean, God is calling us to be sober, to be able to see him at work in our lives, like every day, every now and then. And then number 6 is grow. 2 Peter 3:18. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and in the day of eternity. Amen. The Bible calls us to grow. When you come to church, God expects you to grow every day. You cannot be the same person like you were 2 years ago. You must grow in grace. You must be part of a congregation, be part of a group where you can study, where you can learn from others, and you grow to glorify God, to be like him. It is an exercise that each one of us should be pursuing. And exercise number 7 is follow. Follow. John 8:12. Whoever follows will not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The Apostle Paul at one time he says, follow me as I follow Christ. Do you have a person that you are following? Do you have a role model, a Christian one? One that you are following that will help you see Christ better? Jesus says at one point, if you want to be my disciples, carry your cross and follow me. Jesus is looking always, looking behind to see, is there someone following me in this journey? And you should be that person. I should be that person. Exercise number 8, pray. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. In everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. In Uganda, we have so many reasons to pray. You wake up when you don't know what you are going to eat. And all things push us into prayer. Now, in this country, I realize it is hard to pray. You have the credit card. You have food in the fridge. You have the health insurance. And it is very easy for you to sit back and realize that you have everything. But the Bible calls us to pray. It's the only way we can remain close to God. It's the only way we give the Holy Spirit an opportunity to speak to us. And it's the only way we can live a happy life when we are connected with God. And number 9, labor. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. Labor for Christ. Don't just sit back. When God called you into this church, He has your responsibility. You should be doing something in the church. There is a lot of work that we should do in the church and in our community for Christ, that people may see the light of Christ. And we should know that this labor is not in vain. And finally, obey. 1 John 2:5. But whoever accepts his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. God is calling us into obedience. Obedience to his word. Every day, in every situation, at all times. If you keep those training, if you keep those exercise, then you will watch Christ do the work that he wants to accomplish in you, and you will remain in the faith as many other people are departing from it. May the Lord help us to understand that he wants us to get closer to him every day. He wants us to live a godly life, not just to speak, not just to walk, not just to say, but to be godly and bring glory to his name. Thank you very much. God bless you.